Father, I thank you for the fact that you are that great of a God, that blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering. Blessed be your name because you walk that road with us. And those who are here this morning that are on that road right now, I pray that you would make yourself evident, as Danita said, that they would see you, that they would hear you, that they would know that you are on that path with them. And when the sun is shining down on us and life is good, may we never forget that you are there with us as well, and you are a great God. It is in your name only, in the name of Jesus, that there is power to save, there is power to forgive sin, there is power over death. Father, you are a great and incredible God. I do, Father, want to lift up to you the Hunsberger family as Dennis goes in for surgery on Tuesday to amputate his legs below the knee. And I thank you for the way that you are already visible in the lives of those of that family. And I just pray in a very special way that, in ways that I can't understand, that you would meet their needs. Also, bring them to our minds. Help us to be helpers, to be your hands and feet for meals, for hospital visits, for rehabilitation visits, for things that need to get done around the house. God, we just ask you to minister to Dennis in a special way. God, you're a great God. Forgive me for the times that I minimize who you are by elevating other things above you. Let's close with singing that chorus one more time. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen, amen. Please be seated. I want to say again, thank you for those of you that are with us here for the very first time. If you didn't get a chance to stop at the Welcome Center, I want to point out to you that in our bulletin, there is this thing we have called a connection card that we would love for you to fill out and place in our offering plate, which we're going to receive our offering here in just a moment. We do not expect our guests to place money in an offering plate, but we are thankful that you are here. And so we have members of the Hoover family here with us today. We're excited to have you guys with us. We're going to be praying for Jason and Nicole. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. So if the ushers are ready, if you'll put my offering thought up there, Emma, on the scripture, on the screen, we will read this together. Today we're talking about missions, and so it's sort of appropriate, I think, that we kind of read this scripture together, and as we give resources, we kind of are reminded as to why we're doing that. This is not a social club. We're not gathered here because we don't have friends. Well, maybe I can't speak for all of us, but we're not gathered here just for that. We're gathered here for a reason and a purpose, and this encapsulates for us what that is. So if you'll read this with me together. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let's keep that in our mind as we receive our offering this morning.
Anybody falls sometimes. You gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. And anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. So don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find a silver lining. And I've seen dreams that move the mountains, hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. And that's what faith can do. Doesn't matter what you've heard, impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. And everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water. But it'll be alright, 'cause life is so much more than what your eyes were seeing. For you will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams of moving mountains, and hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen these miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do.
Amen. Thank you, David. I have the kids up here for just a couple minutes because I would like to invite Jason and Nicole and their family up here. If you haven't seen Jason and Nicole and the kids for a few weeks, it's not because they've been sleeping in. They actually have been traveling around around the state, speaking to other churches about their ministry as they get ready to head off to the Dominican Republic on November 17th. And I just wanted to have a special time of prayer with them, and wanted the kids to see this because, you know, it's my desire that maybe today is a day that is something that's cemented in your mind. And God may call you to the mission field someday. He may call you to go someplace far, far away to share Christ with people. And maybe today would be the beginning of that and the start of that. So if you don't know, Jason and Nicole and their family, Ethan and Miriam, are leaving on November 17th for the Dominican Republic to serve there. And to serve in the Dominican. And so, I don't know, did you want to say anything? I didn't really have a microphone for you, but you no, ready. You get their updates on the news line. They've got letters out there. It's an exciting time, obviously. It's a scary time. And I just wanted to pray for them and also to get them in front of you again and encourage you to pray for them and their ministry. And if you want to see them in February, get on the Dominican trip and get the applications out there, and we'll head on to see them. So let's pray for you guys, all right? Father, we thank you for this family and for your activity in their lives. Some of us have had the privilege of watching that activity, myself only for 4 years, but have seen it here, especially in these last couple of years, as you have confirmed the call for them to the Dominican. Thank you for all of the different people at Buffalo Valley that have played a part in their discipleship and in their growth and in their lives. Thank you for all the service that they have done here in so many different ways. And I pray in ways that they do not even yet understand, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would equip them for service, that you would uplift them. I know you will provide for them. We ask you to do that. We thank you ahead of time. I know you've equipped them, and I pray you just continue to do that. And as they arrive there on the 17th, may they be 100% assured not only of your presence, but of our prayers and our support. Lead them, guide them, direct them as they go to another part of this world to spread the good news of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys very, very much. They will be here one more Sunday, and then they are off. And so now, kids, you can head on back to junior worship. If you're headed back there, we do provide a junior worship time for our kids back in the sunroom. They are welcome to go back there. You're also welcome to keep them here with you. That is perfectly fine as well. We love kids. We don't mind the noise, so that's perfectly fine. If you do want to keep them here and they're like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, that's the most boring first 5 minutes of a sermon I've ever heard, we do have bags out here in the back through this door that has some activity pages and crayons and things that they can color to endure the next hour of the sermon after the first 5 minutes. And actually, it's really not that long. But we are today just going to do 1 week little mini-series on this idea of missions. And just a reminder of what that looks like here and why that's important. Then for the next 3 weeks, we will be talking about prayer, so the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. And then in December, we will begin a series called Piecing Together the Puzzle of Christmas, looking at some of the puzzling aspects of Christmas and piecing that all together for us. So that's sort of a little bit of a commercial as to where we're headed. So Emma, if you'd put up my sermon slides here for me. So today we're going to talk about going, giving, and dwelling. And we're going to look at this idea of missions and what does that word mean for us here at Buffalo Valley? And how do we incorporate that into our lives? And I think sometimes when we think about missions, we think about people who lived a long time ago and who lived in a galaxy far, far away. All right. This is the opening slide from the Star Wars movies. And we think about missions. We think, okay, that's people that you know are way over there somewhere. Or that's people that lived back in the 1800s, and there's great stories. But it doesn't really apply to me. But it does, right? Right here in our own congregation, we have Missy Hunsberger, who just recently went to go work with Oasis of Hope in Pennsylvania as a full-time missionary for them. And now we've got the Hoovers that are leaving. And so there's all kinds of mission kinds of opportunities and things going on. In fact, the next slide says then that Buffalo Valley has had an increasing missionary effort in the past several years. Buffalo Valley has always been interested in missions. But in the last few years, that has increased. And so I did this little synopsis of everything that I could remember just over the last 4 years, right? So this doesn't include anything that happened before then, but just in the last 4 years, we had the last of an annual trip to Arizona to do mission work out there, and then we started the three times a year trips to Westernport, Maryland. We had a group of 16 people just come back yesterday, just went down there for a one-day trip, ministered to, I think, 60-some kids and adults down there, and so we've got this great relationship going with Westernport, Maryland. We spend a week there every summer. Matt and Nikki Walter spent 2 years in Hong Kong. Becky Keister is teaching in a school in Singapore. We're planning our third trip to the Dominican Republic here in February. Pastor Danita spent 10 days in Palestine a couple of years ago. A.J. Griffin went to France. Lily Eberhardt and Robin Schultz have served with Child Evangelism Fellowship. A disaster relief trip to New Jersey 3 years ago. Eli Mass spent 10 days in South Sudan earlier this year. The Next Door Ministry was originated out of the minds and hearts of people here at Buffalo Valley. Jim and Kathy Deal have made a few trips to South Africa. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not used to that. I'm sorry. I wanted to get through this quickly. Missy Hunsberger spent several summers in Montana and now is working with Oasis of Hope in Pennsylvania. Of course, Jason and Nicole and their family are moving to the Dominican. And then Austin Walter is leaving for 6 months in Thailand. The idea is that there are a lot of mission things happening here. It is an important part of this ministry, and I hope it is an ever increasingly important part of church life here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Next slide. Regarding missions, we are both going and giving. A couple years ago, we gave over $50,000 to Nigeria to help recover from the terrorist attacks there. We have given probably $20,000 or so for construction materials to help work with the Dominican Republic in these last 2 years that we've gone, and we'll have more to give this year as well. Earlier this year, we gave $15,000 so that we could help buy a vehicle for ministry in South Sudan. That's above and beyond the tens of thousands of dollars that's in our mission budget. I think this year our mission budget is proposed at like $76,000, which is as high as it's ever been. We have this desire not only to go, but also to give. And none of that, of course, happens without you, right? You're all part of that. So we have an opportunity both to go and to give, right? Both to go and to give and to do these things that God has called us to called us to do. Because throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God's heart is focused on the mission of telling people about himself, right? I mean, this is what this whole thing is about. It's about God telling people about himself. In Genesis chapter 12, the first book of the Bible, when God comes to this guy named Abraham, whom initially was called Abram, when he comes to Abram and says, you know what, Abram, I have called you out. I am going to make a special people out of you, a special nation out of you. In that midst of that covenant blessing, he says to Abraham, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is not just for your little clique, just for your little tribe. I'm going to use you to bless the entire nations, all the world, with knowledge about me. And then at the end of the book, in Revelation, we read this in chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne. We have this understanding that people from all around the world, from every tribe and every tongue, will stand and proclaim Jesus as Lord. So God has a missionary heart. I've shared with you before, too, that if I was God, I would do it differently. Right? If I was God, I would do this whole church worship thing differently. I would do this whole spreading of the gospel differently. What I would do is I would pick a day, maybe a couple of hours of the day. I don't know how long it would be. But I would just open up the heavens, like, you know, roll back the skies, however God could do that. I would have angels descending. I'd have the whole world shut down. Okay, I'd shut down the internet. I'd shut down the cell phones. I'd shut down all that sort of stuff. I'd have angelic bands singing. I mean, can you imagine, like, you know, God of Angel Armies sung by actual angel armies? I mean, how cool would that be? All right, that's what I would do. I would have the angels doing the music. I would have maybe Moses and Elijah give a testimony about what God has done in their life and how amazing it was and how cool the burning bush was and how cool all this stuff was. Maybe even have Jesus come and give a sermon and talk about himself in ways that only he could talk about himself. And so I'd just shut the whole world down, and then maybe as a special treat every couple of months, you know, worldwide broadcast of a Cowboys game. I don't know, something like that, you know, just as a special blessing for everybody. But that's how I would do it, right? That's how I would do it. I would make you pay attention. I would make me pay attention. I would seek to overwhelm you with a display of grandeur and mystery and power that would just knock your socks off. But you know, that's not how he does it, does he? He doesn't do that. Instead, what we see is that God has chosen the church to carry out his missionary purpose. He has chosen people like you and me, people who are not filled with grandeur, people who are messed up, people who are distracted at best, people who are not devoted the way that we should be, people who don't understand some of the things that we wish we could understand about God and about his word, and yet he's chosen us to do this. He's not rolling back the skies and sending angels down to sing to us. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes this in verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And a preacher, don't think, you know, pastoral paid person. Think just a proclaimer of the truth. "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." This is just one passage that says, it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to go. And quite honestly, we're not doing this the way we should. I encourage you to sign up joshuaproject.org. Every day an email will come to your email that will describe an unreached group of people around the world, an ethnic group. Sometimes it's as small as a few thousand. Sometimes it's as many as 15 to 25 to 30 million people who live in some part of the world that, as far as we know, have no real access to the good news of Jesus. Some of the times I read those things and it just breaks my heart, because there's like 5 million people in the sense and says, as far as we know, there are no followers of Jesus among this tribe. How can there be no followers of Jesus among a tribe of 5 million people? But that's true. Now, God can do other things. God can give visions and dreams, and I think God is doing that, especially in places where we're not getting the gospel out, but he's not rolling back the skies. He's asking you and me to get involved. He's asking you and me to engage. He's asking you and me to take the message around the world. That's what I want to talk about today. So the first thing is that the responsibility then to get out God's message falls on very imperfect messengers, right? Please don't think for a second, oh, I don't know enough about the Bible, or I've got this going on in my life, I can't talk to somebody about Jesus. No, no, this is a perfect message and a powerful message, but the responsibility to get it out falls on imperfect messengers like you and me. And so let's look at how that shapes out. So the first thing, our responsibility is to go, right? Great commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts 1:8, which we already saw in the offering time. You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Our first responsibility is to go across the seas and across the streets, right? It's not just necessarily like Jason and Nicole flying off to the Dominican Republic. It doesn't have to be that way for all of us. That's not your calling. Maybe your call is to go across the street. Maybe your call is to go across cultures and interact with people who don't know anything about that. God is just going to take you to India. He's going to take you to Pakistan. He's going to take you to wherever you might be. But it might not be across the culture. It might simply be across the cul-de-sac. It might just simply be to reach out to the neighbor, to the kid at your locker, to the folks who live down the street, to your coworker in the cubicle next to you. But the point is, the responsibility is to go. 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 So I want to ask you, I don't want you to answer, but when is the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus here this morning, you get a pass on this question. But if you are, when is the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? And what are you waiting for? You have a commitment and responsibility to go. You say, well, I don't know how to talk to somebody about Jesus. They start asking me about the difference between consubstantiation and transubstantiation, and I don't know the difference between that and a subway station, and I won't know what to say. Well, they're never going to ask you that, number one, okay? But don't let that, but it's not that hard. You know, Peter tells us that all of us followers of Jesus, should be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us in meekness and fear. Tell your story. Tell your story of what Jesus has done for you. Tell your story of how he's forgiven you of your sin. Tell a story about where he's met you when you didn't deserve it and took you to a place that you didn't belong to be, didn't deserve to be. Tell him how he's met you in a dark time and walked through it. And maybe this time didn't work out the way you wanted, but he was still there. We have gospel tracts available to you. We can teach you, and I can teach you in less than 30 minutes how to share the gospel with somebody. Call me, email me. I'll take you to lunch. I'll feed you while I teach you. Well, not everybody, but no. Go. Go. Right? See, what, just invite someone to church with you. Invite someone to Friday Fun. Friday Fun started again. You know, if you've got like a stressed out coworker that's got like kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, they don't know what to do, tell them, hey, guess what? Bring them to my church on Friday night. Drop them off at 6, pick them up at 8:30. You don't have to stay. You can go out on a date. You can go home and take a nap. You can do whatever you want to do. Drop them off at 6, pick them up at 8:30. We'll take care of them. We'll feed them. We'll provide for them. We don't lose too many of them. Just bring them on in. You know, ambulance rarely visits. Just bring them here. Okay? See, you can do that, can't you? Gingerbread house night coming up. Come and make a gingerbread. Sunday morning, whatever the case may be, talk to people about Jesus. Go. Invite. Go. If God's leading you to go to Dominican this year to with us, go. He'll figure out the money. Your boss doesn't really need you that much anyway. Go. But there's more, right? Our next responsibility is to give. It's to give. In reality, everything that we do here, because we're not a social club, so everything that we do here is somewhat missions related, right? The electric bill, we're not having the lights on so that we can have a party together, right? We're having the lights on around here so that activities go on that ultimately point to Jesus. Everything that we do here has some kind of mission related thing, or we ought not to be doing it. And we have this responsibility to give. And thankfully, many of you do. And this year, we are stretching ourselves. This year, I used this analogy last year when we talked about it, but I like to think of our church as a rubber band. A rubber band. A rubber band is absolutely useless until it's what? Stretched. It's totally useless. You put 3 or 4 pencils in a little rubber band, and it doesn't hold them together. But you put like a dozen in there or 20 in there, and you stretch that rascal. Now, all of a sudden, it's useful. We are asking to stretch ourselves this year in a way that we've not stretched yet, especially in the way of missions. We believed it was an important thing for us to get behind financially, the Hoover family and Missy Hunsberger. And I think the number is somewhere between $950 and $975 a month that we've committed out of our church budget to help those folks. We didn't do that last year, right? That's not money that was in the budget last year. That's money that needs to be in the budget this year. And that's going to come from you and me. We have a responsibility to give, to use of the resources that we have. There's so many creative ways that we can give. I mean, you might be thinking, I don't have any money to give. Well, maybe like, you know how they have that expression, no pain, no gain? That a lot of people go out to eat. A lot of people go out to eat like once a week. Maybe you could just say, you know what, I'm not gonna go out every week. I'm only gonna go out 3 weeks this month, and I'm gonna take that money and give it. So instead of no pain, no gain, it's like no food, missions, good. All right? Something like that. All right? That doesn't work? Okay. I should have run this by Nikki first before. All right? Well, maybe you'll like this one better. Less grams of fat so missions can be all that. All right? How about that? Is that better? Yeah, she likes that. All right? All right? Less grams of fat so missions can be all that. I'm just, however you want to motivate yourself. All right? Here's one more. Skipping an earthly latte might mean a heavenly pate, okay? Something like that, okay? A way to motivate. But we all have this responsibility to give, right? We have to do it. We have to be able to equip those who are going. We have to be able to keep the lights on. We have to be able to, and we're not in trouble. And I'm just saying that we need to stretch ourselves. And if we're not going, or even when we're going, we're still giving. We're giving. So important. Now I'm a little funny with dinners and stuff like that, but you know what? Quite honestly, the ministry doesn't run by not going out to dinner one weekend. It goes more of this, and this isn't really a financial sermon, but the idea is for you to consider planned percentage giving, especially those of you that are younger, your 20s and 30s, because most of you, 20s, 30s, and 40s, over the next 10, 20, 15, 25, 35, 40 years, your income is going to go up, all right? I'm 51. Everybody knows what my salary is here. It isn't going up very much if I'm here another 25 years. It's not going to go up very much. My earning potential is pretty bad, okay, in terms of growth, which is fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's not going up, okay? But many of you are. If you're in your 20s and you got a job now, you're probably going to make a lot more money in your 40s than you're making in your 20s. So consider building that in. If you don't do it now, don't just give the leftovers because you'll use most of that for yourself. Consider building in something that you're going to give every month. You can do it even so that, you know, it just comes right out of your bank account if you want to. Give. Give. God is not interested. When Jesus returns, he's not interested in you giving him leftover money that's in your account. He doesn't need that. Go and give. Go and give. Go and give. But this is where I want to spend most of my time. Our next responsibility is to dwell. And here's something that I've come to a realization of. I understand now why God doesn't roll the heavens out and roll down the angels. I just found this. You probably already know this. I just sort of discovered this for myself this particular, a few weeks ago when I wrote this particular message and started thinking about this. Who's the ultimate missionary? And we might think, Paul, we talk about him, but Jesus, right? Jesus is the ultimate missionary, okay? He was the ultimate missionary. He not only crossed cultures, he crossed realms, okay? However you want to think about it, right? He went from God as spirit, God as eternal, all of that stuff, to confine himself to a body, okay? To live for 33 years here as a human being, fully God and fully man. So he's sort of the ultimate missionary. Right? I mean, the one who made the most sacrifice, who crossed the most boundaries in order to share good news about himself. But most of the people missed it when he was here, right? They missed it. The people really missed Jesus' main missionary purpose. When you read the New Testament, they wanted him to be a king. They wanted him to overthrow the Roman government. They wanted him to provide food. They wanted him to provide protection. They wanted him to provide, even for the Jews in that day, a national identity. They wanted him to be their king, their guy. Romans, don't mess with us because we got Jesus. And that's not why he came. And then this verse came to my mind in John, the Gospel of John, where it says, and the word, now, the context of this verse, we didn't read the whole thing, but when it says word, we know that's Jesus, okay? The word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus dwelt among us. He dwelt among them. How did he arrive on the scene? He didn't arrive with some sort of heavenly throne that just sort of came down out of the, you know, out of the sky, and there he was sitting on it, and everybody knew that this was something special. He was born as a little baby to nobody parents in a no place part of the world. Without sight of that star, very little fanfare, and most people didn't have any idea what that was anyway. He dwelt among the people. He dwelt among the people. If there had been great fanfare, if there had been an angelic ceremony, other than that little thing that happened to the shepherds, if there had been this worldwide exclamation of his majesty and greatness and fame, I think many people would have probably pulled away, pushed away. But he came and he dwelt among these people. He spent most of his time with a small group of men and women that he traveled with. I mean, Jesus didn't need to walk anywhere. He could have just teleported wherever he wanted to go. He could have if he'd wanted to. He walked. He dwelt among the people. Jesus did missions by prioritizing dwelling among the people. And that's what I need to do, and that's what you need to do. And let me expand that a little bit more. About a month or so ago, an article came across my Facebook feed from a ministry called Desiring God. And in that article, which just so happened to come along the time I was writing the sermon, but anyway, sometimes God just does those little things for me. But the article was, how do Western missionaries get it wrong? Right? How do we get it wrong? Why do we get it wrong? And the article was written by a guy who was interviewing a number of people who used to be Muslims in a part of the world where you can't really be that public about your faith, or certainly no missionary activities allowed. But they had converted to Christ through the ministry of one particular person for the most part. And he didn't name the person because that would have been dangerous for that person. And so they kept talking, but they kept saying, well, why did you convert to Christ? And what was important? And they kept saying that we loved this man. We love this man. We love this man. We love this man. And so finally, he keeps asking this question. He's looking for other answers. He keeps getting the same answer. So finally, there's this gentleman who quotes this, and I just wanted to put it up here. He says, you want to know why we love this man? So this is a man who used to be a Muslim who's now converted to Christ because of the example of this particular missionary. And I love this sentence. He says, we love him because he borrows money from us. What? We love him because he borrows money from us. When this missionary's father died, he came to us and asked for our help. We didn't have much, but we gathered an offering of love. We bought him a plane ticket so he could go home to America and bury his father. This man and his family give everything they have to the poor. They struggle to pay rent and school fees and put meat on the table. And when he has a great need, what does he do? He doesn't go to the other Westerners for money. He comes to us. He comes to the scattered and the poor. He comes to local believers, asks for and gets our help. Do you want to know why we love him? He needs us. The rest of you have never needed us. Oh my goodness. What we are so tempted to do as Western missionaries is ride in on the plane, the train, the automobile. I'm here, I come to save the day. Right? Mighty Mouse reference. And I know from talking with Jason and Nicole, that's not their mindset. But that's what we kind of do. And here's the problem, and maybe it's just me, but I suspect it may be some of you as well. And it's not conscious, and I wouldn't verbalize it this way. But when I tend to think about myself and my relationship with God and what I have, I'm here. If you don't have that relationship with God, you're here. And I need to bring you up here. And I need my God to bring you up here. Do we think we really need those around us? Here's how this plays out. You say, okay, I have a friend and they need Jesus. And if I'm sort of in this position and I've got some things together and I want them to have it together like I do, and so if I invite them or they come, then I need God to bring them up here. I need God to fix something in their life. I need God to give them more money. I need God to heal their child. I need God to fix their marriage. I need God. And deep down inside, we're not really sure God's going to do that. And quite honestly, many times he doesn't do that. And so we don't invite. We don't go. We don't ask. Because subconsciously we're reacting from this position of superiority. And if anybody could have done that, it could have been Jesus, right? I mean, he was superior than everyone else by orders of magnitude we don't even understand. And he washed their feet. He let them nail him to a cross. He let them take care of his needs because he wanted them to know that he needed them. Why does God not open up the sky and bring the angels down and have Moses preach a sermon? Because there would be no relationship with that. And as messed up as I am and as messed up as you are, you and I are the ones, as followers of Jesus here today, you and I are the ones that he has given the responsibility and the privilege to go and to give. And we will never do that effectively if we do not recognize that whether or not that person comes to Jesus or not, whether or not they come, we need them. And we are on the same level as playing field as they are. Next slide sort of encapsulates this for me. We do not approach people from a position of strength, but a position of service. I need to serve you. And I need you in my life. And I'd really love if you would want to come with me to my church. Or I'd really love if you would be connected to my God. But even if you don't do that, I need you. And I want to have a relationship with you. Jesus dwelt among us. The Hoovers go to the Dominican Republic not to show the Dominicans how to do church. They go there as servants. And though I know that there will be times when you'll be tempted, especially you, Jason, to say, no, we don't do it that way, we got to do it this way, I know you're not going to do that. Because I've already watched Jason interact with and let them do things their way, because that's the way they know how to do it. Will you do that with your friends? Will you do that with people in school? What does going, giving, and dwelling look like in your life today? I mean, really, what's it look like? Who is it that you need to go across the street and invite to church? Who is it that you need to go across the hall and say, hey, can I pray for you today? What does giving look like in your life? Are you sacrificially giving so that this gospel can go forth? God has equipped you and I to do it. We've already talked about this. I'm not going to rehash this. There are more than enough resources in the church in America to feed the world. But we're sitting on it. And then what does dwelling look like for you? You're not up here. Here. Invite them into your life. Let God do the rest. Let's take our example from Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we get ready to sing, we're going to sing a song that begins with, "Here am I, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." I think that first verse encapsulates the whole deal today. Here am I. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go, however you want me to go. Across the sea, across the street, across the culture, across the cul-de-sac. Presenting the good news of Christ to somebody or inviting them to Friday fun. I will hold your people in my heart. I will dwell among them. I will care enough about them. I know, God, one of the things that breaks my heart about reading those emails is I just don't see any way that I can get to the mountains of Pakistan. I just don't see how that's ever going to happen for me. But I can pray. And I can give so that maybe you'll bring that opportunity somehow, some way. But I have to remind myself, do I even really care? I'm called to care. I don't have the option as a follower of Jesus. I don't have an option to say I don't care. Father, increase in me, and perhaps in some today, a greater burden for those that we do life with that don't know Jesus. Regardless of whether you're going to fix their marriage or give them a job, they just need you. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, I pray you let us help you with that. He's here for you. God, you don't roll back the skies because it's not the best way to get the job done. Thank you for the privilege that we have. May we go and give and dwell in greater ways as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.